back once again to today's broadcast. It's Thursday, July 28th, 2016. I would be remiss if I didn't mention the chat area. So feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com. I am your host, Chris Hinckley, and we are all road warriors, those who would esteem ourselves to be, I suppose. So let's jump back into the Scahill clip here in a second that we were playing. And let me just give you some background on that if you're just joining us for the second hour. We played Ben Swan's Reality Check from earlier this month. Ben talking about, you know, the media, while the media talks about Melania silent, the corporate media is silent as U.S.-backed rebels behead an 11-year-old boy in Syria and drone strikes kill 100 civilians, including women and children. The beheading incident kind of standing alone on its own. There are, you know, issues with that that I won't get into. I won't touch on right now. But the 100 civilian, it was, I think it was 85, something like that. The Obama administration says, we're going to call it 100. The way that the corporate press reported was essentially that, you know, around 100 or so. Let's call it like they're out playing golf or something. You know, put me down for four. These are lives. And the reason that the numbers are manipulated is because of the definition of terms that Jeremy Scahill is talking about in the clip that we were playing subsequent to the Ben Swan clip. That, you know, of course, Jeremy Scahill's October 3rd, 2014 Democracy Now! Appearance titled "We Created the Very Threat We Claim to Be Fighting," in which he talks about the Orwellian redefining of terms by the Obama administration, including the word imminent. And as he said, the Justice Department actually has officially changed the definition of the word imminent so that it does not need to involve an immediate threat. Imminent, according to the Justice Department, which is an oxymoron now, does not mean immediate threat. It could be a perception, as Scahill pointed out, that maybe one day these individuals could possibly attempt to plot and not even carry out, as he said, a terrorist attack against the United States. And people will say, oh, but you know, that sounds so sensational. I would refer you, he is the co-founder, as Amy Goodman pointed out, of The Intercept. And I would point you to The Intercept piece that I mentioned from June 17th titled "Nine Lost Souls the FBI Charged as Terrorists While Letting the Orlando Shooter Go." These are nine folks that didn't do anything. They may, a few of them committed some petty crimes unrelated to terrorism. And now they are on trial, and some have been charged serving sentences decades long for just plotting. And of course, the FBI is making these known wolves, as Patrick Henningsen over at 21st Century Wire says. They're known wolves. They're not lone wolves. They're never lone wolves. They're always known wolves. So that the scenario and the media spin and so forth can be controlled. It's always controlled and manufactured, these incidents and situations. So What he is pointing out, Scahill, is correct. And not only, I mean, we have evidence from what the FBI and the Department of Justice have done in the last couple of years. Since he said those words, the Department of Justice has prosecuted and convicted people based on what he said about the redefining of the word imminent. It has happened. So if we're watching their feet and not listening to their lips, we see that his assessment is absolutely factually correct. The Justice Department did officially change the definition of the word imminent. And now it doesn't have to just be imminent or immediate threat. It could be a perception that maybe one day individuals could possibly attempt to plot, not even carry out, a terrorist attack against the United States. And people have been prosecuted and convicted under those terms. So then he was talking about the fact that this policy and the administration is empowering the very threat it claims to be fighting. And he said, who is ISIS? Talked about Izzat Ibrahim, a leading Baathist figure, a hardcore Baathist, and not some ragamuffin Baathist, as Scahill put it. And why is he fighting fighting with ISIS? And Scahill pointed out, when Paul Bremer was put in charge of the occupation of Iraq, one of the first things he did was to fire 250,000 Iraqi soldiers simply because they were members of the Baathist party. And as Scahill pointed out, as one senior U.S. official at the time said, it was the day we made 250,000 enemies in Iraq. All those Baathists, as Scahill pointed out, have been jerked around by the United States, and he knows he's been there as a war correspondent since before the Iraq invasion. He's been reporting as boots on the ground there and in the region for over a decade. So the Baathists, the Sunnis in Western Iraq, have all been jerked around by the United States for a very long time, and he knows because he's boots on the ground there. So he said the U.S. turned around and put in power a Shiite-led government under Nouri al-Maliki that effectively operated a network of death squads that systematically attacked Sunnis. So when you understand the dynamics of what's happening and the way that we are, as Scahill pointed out, jerking people around in these regions, saying that we are their friend, we're going to help them, and making the absolute wrong decision, or is it, in the majority of cases, it's no wonder why people are getting upset, and we're creating endless enemies, as Jonathan Quitney put it in the title of his book back in 1984. So in simple terms, to go back to the creation of the Mujahideen, if you think about it, and we should probably play the Hillary Clinton clip too. If you think about it, in just the simplest of terms, we, through operation, or the United States military industrial complex, through Operation Cyclone, created the Afghan Mujahideen, the Mujahideen, actually, the fundamentalists, the puritanical fundamentalists. We created this group that became Al-Qaeda. And if you believe Robin Cook and his piece from July 8, 2005, the day after the London 7/7 bombings, published in The Guardian, where he pointed out that Al-Qaeda literally means the database of the thousands of Afghan Mujahideen soldiers, many of which were actually not Afghan, but you know, that's another story. So the Mujahideen soldiers, CIA database, and that has been largely occluded. The press reported on that for a moment and then started to go to the base. It means the base. And then that went away, lost down the memory hole in Orwellian fashion. But you understand, if you see that clearly, we created the Mujahideen, the Al-Qaeda side of the fight. We also drew the Soviets in, as Brzezinski has admitted repeatedly. You know, we play the news footage clip of Brzezinski on the Pakistan side of the Afghan-Pakistan border talking to the soldiers of God, as he calls them, telling them their cause will be right because God is on their side. He has admitted that we drew the Soviets in. He said we didn't force the Soviets into Afghanistan, but we caused a situation that made it virtually impossible for them not to intervene, and called Carter reportedly when the Soviets decided to invade and said, congratulations, we've given the Soviets their Vietnam War. So we created both sides of that conflict. Now, if you are these militant ideologues, these Mujahideen, and you hear the United States military-industrial complex come in and say, we are your friends, we'll help fight off the Soviets. They arm, train, equip, fund you. And the Soviets come in, there's fighting, your people die, some of your people die. And then you find out after the fact, you find out after the fact that elements of the United States military-industrial complex were responsible for the Soviet invasion, at least in part, largely responsible for it. So they manufactured this conflict that got some of your people killed, and they decided to withdraw their material support. Then how do you feel about that? And if you fast forward to what Scahill is saying now, decades later, with the same conflict, same things happening. You know, if you create a mercenary force, to put it another way, another oversimplified way, if you create a mercenary force and you pay them to go be a mercenary force, if you stop paying them, what are they going to do? Chances are, there's a good chance, history says, that they're going to go find someone to pay them to do what they're pretty darn good at now, to be guerrillas, to be mercenaries. So people, you know, we should ask the question, if we have trained folks to defend themselves in a righteous cause, why are they upset with them? Why would they ever be upset with America? We helped them defend themselves in a righteous cause. Oh, because it wasn't a righteous cause and we caused the conflict in the first place. And we essentially backed out on them and left them in a somewhat defenseless or vulnerable position. So if that were you, how would you feel? And that's kind of what Jeremy Scahill is detailing in the clip that we're playing. So I want to get back to that. And hopefully that makes sense. Now, if you understand those critically important facts, then you, one has to ask, why would you ever, why would anyone ever, ever send their children to be conscripted to evil in this Machiavellian mess of intrigue and deception? I mean, you know, you you may or may not come away from it all unscathed, unharmed, but the likelihood of that, chances of that are slim and none. To not be psychologically injured somehow by the military-industrial complex in participating in being conscripted to evil is hard to imagine. So why would you do that to your children? Isn't that something? The Stockholm Syndrome is just staggering. Again, getting back to the schizophrenia that I mentioned yesterday. And at some point, do we not have to admit to ourselves and to our sons and daughters that we are criminally culpable, that we are accessories to the crime that targets us and our posterity? again, the schizophrenia and the Stockholm syndrome are staggering. We're running out of time. I want to get back to that clip. So let's get back to Jeremy Scahill on Democracy Now, October 3rd, 2014. Go ahead, please.
So the point I'm making here is, yes, there's an element of ISIS. I don't know how dominant it is within the group that is, you know, trying to establish the caliphate. And they are beheading people. And they are imposing a very strict interpretation of Sharia law. But there are also, and I would suspect that they're best military figures, there is also a large contingent of people that are fighting the same battle that they were fighting when the United States originally invaded. The fact is there was no Al-Qaeda presence in Iraq before George W. Bush made the decision to invade it, except in the Kurdish region in the north of Iraq, which was not under Saddam Hussein's control. In fact, it was under the control of U.S.-backed entities, and that was Ansar al-Islam. Saddam Hussein's forces were fighting that group. So what am I saying here? What I'm saying is that the United States, through its policies, created the very threat that it claims to be fighting now. And in continuing this policy, what President Obama is doing is embracing the very lies that made the Cheney-Bush-Iraq war possible. And in the process, he's creating yet another generation of people in the Islamic world who are going to grow up in a society where they believe that their religion is being targeted, where they believe that the United States is a gratuitous enemy. And so this is sort of an epic formula for blowback.
According to Yahoo News, the Obama administration's acknowledged the policy.
That's enough right there. There's more, actually. I mean, I guess we should keep going. We have another couple of seconds. The next segment what he says next is that right there, though, is one of the most – it's true, absolutely true what he said, you know, that the Obama administration now in succession to the Bush administration is creating another generation of people in the Islamic world who are going to grow up in a society where they believe that the religion is being targeted. It's true. Listen to the Fox News of the world. Listen to the Western press vilifying Islam. I see comments all the time in social media. Islam is the problem in Western Europe. Muslims are the problem. These people have a legitimate concern that their religion is being targeted, where they believe, as Scahill said, the United States is a gratuitous enemy. And as he said, this is an epic formula for blowback. Is that just not painfully obvious? And the vast majority of the 1.6 or 7 billion Muslims don't believe what these radicals believe, wouldn't even consider themselves the same religion.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo. What the hell am I doing
So we'll come back to Jeremy Scahill in a second because I want to play one more small excerpt. But to say it another way, Ted Galen Carpenter and his Five Inconvenient Truths of the War on ISIS over at the Cato Institute, an article published November of last year, had these words. Perhaps the worst aspect of an intensified Western military campaign against ISIS is that it plays into the narrative of a new crusader invasion of Muslim lands. As much of Western audiences may see that as merely a self-serving myth, Muslim populations are likely to note that this is the latest in a series of Western, or what they think of as Christian, assaults on Islamic entities. And this just – doesn't it sound exactly like the allegedly spurious letter from Pike to Mazzini? Doesn't it just sound like those words – could it really be that simple? Could we really boil it? Well, it sure sounds like it, doesn't it? We see the elements of that conflict being fomented, do we not? What do I mean? Well, the allegedly spurious letter of Albert Pike to Giuseppe Mazzini back in 1871 outlining three world wars planned to control the world, essentially. And in Carol Quigley's book, The Anglo-American Establishment, he essentially corroborates the modus operandi of the letter, saying that, well, in Quigley's words, well, the Amazon book description for Quigley's Anglo-American Establishment, the book description that's still there, if you go to the Anglo-American Establishment entry on Amazon.com, it still says, Quigley exposes the secret societies established in London in 1891 by Cecil Rhodes. Quigley explains how these men worked in union to begin their society to control the world. It explains how all the wars from that time were deliberately created to control the economies of all the nations. Doesn't that sound like the findings that the Rees Committee corroborated? Doesn't that sound like Pike's letter to Mazzini from 1871 and him saying in his letter, or writing in his letter, the war must be conducted in such a way that political Islam, I would say, and political Zionism mutually destroy each other. Meanwhile, all the other nations, once more divided on this issue, political Islam versus political Zionism, that issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economical exhaustion. We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and the most bloody turmoil. Doesn't that sound like what Ben Swan is talking about when he talks about a group of U.S.-backed Syrian rebels beheading an 11-year-old boy? Doesn't that sound like absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and the most bloody turmoil? So dividing people on that line, political Islam versus political Zionism, do we not see that shaping up very clearly? We'll conclude this when we come back. I'll get back to Ted Galen Carpenter's words, and we'll get back to Scahill and wrap it up. Stick around, more right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822, that's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Work with your doctor when taking medications. Make Protovite part of your healthy lifestyle.
HealthForLiberty.com is your source for Protovite, a powerful nutritional supplement that's a true breakthrough for your health. Poor digestion makes it nearly impossible to absorb the nutrition your body needs. Protovite is a liquid multi-nutrient formula with patent-pending absorption technology and the highest quality ingredients to nourish every cell in your body.
My name is Sandra White. 6 weeks ago when I started taking Protovite, I was on 14 medications, from everything for blood pressure to fibromyalgia. In the first 10 days, my blood sugar dropped 50 points and my fibromyalgia pain is gone. And so was 12 of the 14 medications that I was taking. I'm 66, living life and loving it.
Go to healthforliberty.com right now. That's healthforliberty.com.
Thank you, Protovite, for giving my life back.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritional meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from takefromcaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit takefromcaesar.us for more information.
The good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself. Don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
All right, welcome back.
Oh, my goodness. So let's draw this to a conclusion, a punchline, then we'll go to the phones. A couple of brief clips to underscore the point here. This should just be a collection of information. I've done this a couple of times. It should all be out there. You know, it's interesting. You hear there's an echo here and there of, you know, cooler heads prevailing. This is not a good idea. Going back notably to Jonathan Quitney's book, Endless Enemies, really going back to Smedley Butler's book, War is a Racket, coming forward to Quitney's book on the heels of the creation of the Mujahideen, you know, his book, Quitney's book titled Endless Enemies, Gary Webb talking about that when he was on C-SPAN's Washington Journal, looking at the LA Times article by Robin Wright titled Saudi Dissident, a Prime Suspect in Blasts. And who is Robin Wright, by the way? Don't even get me started on that. A fellow at Yale, Duke, Stanford, Brookings, Carnegie Endowment, et cetera, Woodrow Wilson, International Centers, USIP, U.S. Institute of Peace, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, so, you know, you see the Smedley Butlers, the Jonathan Quitneys, the Gary Webbs, the Scahills, the, you know, these voices that have cautioned us. Johann Hari is another voice that we'll mention here in a second. But these folks that have said, this is not a good idea. This is a, you know, Ted Galen Carpenter. Like I said, to conclude that his point, Muslim populations are likely to note that this latest in a series of Western or what they perceive as Christian assaults on Islamic entities, following on the heels of the wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Libya, what the RAND Corporation calls nation building, by the way, which I call terrorism because let's call it what it really is. This new conflict is almost certain to heighten the belief that Islam is under a relentless infidel assault. Doesn't that sound like what Scahill just said? It's true that a group, another generation of Muslims are going to grow up believing that their religion is targeted and that the United States is a gratuitous enemy. It will inevitably strengthen the sense of persecution and provide an ideal basis for recruiting a new generation of militant terrorists. It would be far better to have ISIS defeated by indigenous regional forces. Precisely. That outcome might well fuel a new round of animosity on the part of Sunni Arabs toward both Kurds and Shiites, but at least Western societies would not be the primary targets. Is that not painfully obvious? I just don't understand how we can't see that. Or as Robin Cook put it in his article, July 8, 2005, the day after the London 7/7 bombings, the article that I believe got him killed because he was dead less than a month later. The article published in The Guardian titled "The Struggle Against Terrorism Cannot Be Won by Military Means," he had these words: "The danger now is that the West's – remember, this is over a decade ago now. The danger now is that the West's current response to the terrorist threat compounds the original error. So long as the struggle against terrorism is conceived as a war that can be won by military means, it is doomed to fail. The more the West emphasizes confrontation, the more it silences moderate voices in the Muslim world who want to speak up for cooperation. Success will only come from isolating the terrorists and denying them support, funds, and recruits, which means focusing more on our common ground with the Muslim world than on what divides us. Think about that. Think about what the image it portrays of the United States military industrial complex when the Muslim world in particular hears the Fox News, for example, that says Muslims are the problem. What message does that send? Seems painfully obvious. Okay, so let's go back to Scahill on Democracy Now, October 3rd, 2014, real quick, and just conclude with that last soundbite of his coming up. Go ahead, please.
This is kind of kabuki drone theater here, because the reality is that even in their drone strikes that are supposedly done with precision and every precaution is taken not to kill civilians, the reality is that they've created a mathematical process for churning out the number of civilians killed in drone strikes that will always result in zero. Because if they kill a so-called jackpot, the target that they're aiming for, and they kill other unknown individuals, the system that the Obama administration, the U.S. military, and the CIA have developed is that anyone who is an EKIA, enemy killed in action, is someone who we don't have proof that they're innocent. You know, in other words, it's sort of a reversal of the idea that you're innocent until proven guilty. If you are near someone that the U.S. was intending to kill, the presumption is that you are an EKIA, you're an enemy killed in action, unless someone can prove that you weren't. And I mean, most of these drone strikes we don't know anything about. So in a way, the fact that they're saying this, it has actually very little meaning, except that they're going to have even less regard for civilian lives than they already do through their kabuki theater with their existing drone program.
Let me ask you about former Defense Secretary Leon Panetta.
There's that. Think about those words. That was the main soundbite, the primary soundbite that I wanted from his appearance, Scahill's appearance on Democracy Now!, in tandem with Ben Swan's reality check regarding the civilian deaths in the recent drone strikes. So the numbers are fudged, as Scahill pointed out earlier, and then you have the EKIA concept where if we don't have proof that you're innocent, then you're probably guilty by association or proximity. Listen to what's happening. What have we become, America? Now, we have America. Let's not conflate America and the United States military industrial complex. I try to make that distinction, whether stated or implied. Let's not conflate those two, but the world at large conflates them. So we have a problem. We need to separate ourselves, so to speak, at least mentally or ideologically, from the rogue political regime known as the United States government, if that makes sense, so that we can make the distinction and start to heal ourselves from the schizophrenia, the Stockholm syndrome, et cetera, and perhaps maybe even absolve ourselves of the criminal culpability and the insanity of this all. So let's go to the next clip. Is that ready? Yeah. Hillary Clinton on the record with Greta Van Susteren from Pakistan back in July of 2010. This was 6 years ago, almost to the day now. Hillary Clinton admitting, hey, we created the fight, the very threat that we're trying to fight these days, and the fight for that matter. So go ahead with that, please.
Thank you for coming along.
All right. Now, there's no secret we're having horrible economic problems at home. How do you convince the American people that spending money here in Pakistan is something we want to do?
Well, I think there's three ways to make the case, Greta. Number one, this is where the principal terrorist threat to the United States emanates from. And we've seen some foiled attacks, thank goodness, in the last several months that have just demonstrated that. And we have to have a much closer cooperative relationship with Pakistan. We have to prevent Afghanistan from falling into a failed state that can then be even a bigger danger to us. And that costs money. Secondly, if you really think about how much money it cost us as a society after 9/11, it was an incredible economic hit. And so terrorism on top of an economic challenge would be devastating for us. And therefore, we have to stay on our toes and try to prevent that from happening. And thirdly, I think that the long-term benefits of having
for us from a security standpoint.
I do. We're building a relationship that just did not exist. I said in our last trip when you were with me that we had a huge trust deficit, in part because the United States had, to be fair, we had helped to create the problem we're now fighting.
How?
Because when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, we had this brilliant idea that we were going to come to Pakistan and create a force of Mujahideen, equip them with Stinger missiles and everything else to go after the Soviets inside Afghanistan. And we were successful. The Soviets left Afghanistan. And then we said, great, goodbye, leaving these trained people who were fanatical in Afghanistan and Pakistan, leaving them well-armed, creating a mess, frankly, that at the time we didn't really recognize. We were just so happy to see the Soviet Union fall, and we thought, okay, fine, we're okay now. Everything's going to be so much better. Now you look back, the people we're fighting today, we were supporting in the fight against the Soviets.
Well, if there was some sort of sense
of... So there you go.
Wink.
There's Hillary Clinton admitting that we created the enemy and the fight, really the conflict that we're fighting today. So if you were, you know, folks in these other parts of the world and you figured this stuff out, you know, ISIS is focused on the Sykes-Picot Agreement. We need to come back to that too. Think about that. ISIS propaganda refers extensively to the Sykes-Picot Agreement. How many Westerners have investigated any of that? Know what implications that portends at all? Yet we say these things. I see these things stuck on, you know, barroom walls in backwoods places in America that, you know, ISIS hunting permits, no bagging limit, no tagging required, stuff like that. But how many people that read those things or produce those stickers or parrot that kind of vacuous rhetoric have done any research or homework? How does that make us look as Americans? Ignorant, loud-mouthed children on the geopolitical stage. Just foolish. You know, foolish, brutal bullies. Is that who we want to be portrayed as? It's high time that we do our homework and perhaps engage in a more intelligent discourse and a more intelligent course of action. Last but not least, we have a clip of Johan Hari on Real Time with Bill Maher in the overtime segment. This you can find on YouTube, and this was February 6th of last year, 2015. If you're ready with that, go ahead, please.
Should President Obama send arms to Ukraine, or is this a European problem that we should stay out of? Yes, it is. Next question. Marianne, you ran as an independent last fall. What are the limits of our current two-party system?
Well, I think that, you know, George Washington, first of all, in his farewell address, warned us against parties, period. And in the history of social justice, particularly in real change in the United States, third-party voices have been extremely important. Abolition movement came out of the Abolitionist Party. Women's suffrage came out of the Women's Suffrage
Party. They're always absorbed by one of the two parties.
But it's important that you have that third.
Yeah.
And so there is really kind of conspiracy that's lasted for a few decades now to marginalize and make very, very difficult to be heard third-party voices, and I think it's to the detriment of our political dialogue.
Okay. Amy, what's your opinion on Fox News and others choosing to post on their website the recent ISIS video?
I'm very conflicted about that. I think it's disrespectful to the pilot and to his family. Yet, on the other hand, to see the reality of what ISIS is capable of. Personally, I would not be able to watch the video. I've, you know, seen the links to beheading videos. The one I clicked and I started to hear the gurgling, I had to shut it off. I just cannot have those images in my mind.
We should also be showing the atrocities that are committed by my government and your government.
Thank
and, we
you. Should,
and by the Saudi regime, which we support, arm, and fund every
Thank
day.
You.
That we have these beheadings. This is what war is. I wish we had felt more of this horror in a more sober thinking about whether or not to even go into a war. These atrocities happen every day. And some of them happen from...
Well, I mean... punish our war crimes? There's nothing remotely comparable to the kind of...
Henry Kissinger is a lauded and revered person and one of the worst criminals in the United States. You don't punish your war criminals, I'm afraid. But
I disagree with the war. He's not a war criminal. He didn't go out intentionally.
You want to talk to the people of Chile about that. But the... you know, I interviewed... It relates to what you were saying, because I interviewed a lot of former jihadis in Britain who'd become jihadists and had stopped. And it was very interesting. Overwhelmingly, they became jihadis when our governments were committing atrocities against their people, and they stopped because ordinary Western people were decent and kind to them, and they thought, I can't support attacking these people. The more aggressive we are... There's some jihadism, you're totally right, that is just spontaneous, vile, religious mania, right? That's real, that exists. The more aggressive and abusive we are in response, the more that grows. The more we show ourselves to be good and loving and decent people, the more it diminishes. We've got to look at the evidence.
And that's why
there you go. That, to me, is the bottom line. That Johan Hari's statement there is the bottom line. That's it. You know, he interviewed a lot of former jihadis, and the more aggressive we are, and he said, as he said, there are some jihadis that are spontaneous, vile, religious mania. But again, that's that Wahhabist and Salafist element. And if we don't conflate, if we single that out and separate that out, that can be dealt with separately. But as he said, the more aggressive and abusive we are in response, the more that grows, that aggression. And that's what's supposed to be happening in this cauldron right now. In the fomenting of this contrived conflict, the more aggressive and abusive we are in response, the more that grows. The more we show ourselves to be good and loving and decent people, the more it diminishes. And as he said, we've got to look at the evidence. It's Ben Swan said it, 2002 to 2014, 4,500% increase in terrorism. Is the war on terror working? Well, ostensibly so, perhaps. Stick around. I'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, and let's go to the phones real quick and grab Wes in Idaho. Wes, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Really, I would like to draw attention particularly to the listeners in North Idaho that we have 13 days left to get 26 people to prepay a reservation for the movie Vaxxed that could be played next month, August 24th at Riverstone Stadium. The website is GATHR.us. You can go there and, of course, prepay $13, buy a ticket, and have the movie Vaxxed played in Coraline.
That's Riverstone Theater, right? You're talking about Riverstone Theater Stadium. In Coeur d'Alene. Riverstone Stadium?
I might mention that about 6 or 8 years ago, I tried to
I think you mean Riverstone Theater in Coeur d'Alene, right?
Right. It says here, I'm looking at the website. I do not live in Coeur d'Alene, but it says Riverstone Stadium. I don't. You would probably know better than me. I want to get in another comment. About 6, 8 years ago, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny was spoke in Coeur d'Alene, and I went around the entire city and circulated 200 flyers for that. I took them to the Pilgrim's Health Food Store, and I guess the manager tore them down. She did not believe that vaccinations were bad. Well, I found out about 3 years later that she lost her child to a sudden infant death because of a vaccination. In fact, that winter in Coeur d'Alene, there was three infants that died of sudden infant death from the same pediatrician, the same vaccination. Isn't that just, it made me cry.
It's very sad. It's heartbreaking.
Aero Observer, Don Harkin, I actually broke down in tears. All the effort that I made to stop that kind of thing from happening, I mean, tragic. I mean, who cares if there's war or perpetual debt? If you haven't got your friggin' health, what do you have? Let's stop this blasted autism. I mean, Ingrid Cassell said that we're on track of having every other child, boys in particular, having autism. Every other child, one in
right,
two.
Right, and that's a fact that Dr. Stephanie Seneff over at MIT has corroborated in her research. So absolutely, I think she's the leading voice on that. And of course, she ties all of that back primarily to glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup. Yep, she says by 2025, probably one in two. Absolutely. Yeah. So the kind of the combined effect of glyphosate and vaccines, in other words, glyphosate catalyzes the neurotoxins in her research in vaccines and other environmental toxins and neurotoxins. Anyway, it's a great point. So I think that's great. Thanks, Wes, for pointing that out. 13 days left, and Vaxxed should be played in every theater around the country to raise awareness. Anyway, that'll do it for today's broadcast. Thanks for your call, Wes. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Stay tuned for Dr. Deagle. Take care. God bless. And we'll catch you on the other side.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.